Well, good morning to you, saints. Such a joy this morning to greet you on this, the 8th of November, 2020. It's been a great week, and I'm sure, like me, you're looking forward also to have a blessed week ahead. We completed a mini-series on financial wisdom, and from all the reports and the responses and feedback I've received, many of you have been set free or have been touched or have taken note of the important points that we have raised from this series. And I'm praying to God that you would be set free, you'll be successful, and of course be prosperous. That's what God wants from the sons of God. As they walk the length and breadth of this earth, sons of God must always reflect the glory of God. And the glory of God always carries with it prosperity. So I'm glad today that we could have spoken about our wealth, our wisdom. And today I want to speak on the Holy Spirit. We cannot do anything positive, blessed, anything that is of God without the influence, the impact, the guidance of the blessed Holy Spirit. So this morning I want to share and call this session Honorable Holy Spirit. Honorable Holy Spirit. I want to read two passages of scripture and I want you to pay attention. The first passage is from Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, and I will read from the New King James Version. The coming of the Holy Spirit post-resurrection. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Note the words, one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then, number two, there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gave them utterance. Let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 9 to 11, and I'll read this passage of scripture from the Amplified Bible. However, you are not living in the flesh controlled by the sinful nature, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God lives in you, directing and guiding you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to God and is not a child of God. If Christ lives in you, though your natural body is dead because of sin, your spirit is alive because of righteousness which he provides. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Both the above text tells us that the Holy Spirit is a person. You could interact with him, you could hear him, you could speak to him. He is a person. And his appearance may be explosive as a rushing mighty wind. And there can also be the resting upon us as the Holy Spirit came upon the 120. And it came as a fire upon them. So, today, we are convinced when we read these two verses, passages of scripture, and do an exegesis, we will come to the conclusion that the Holy Spirit is a person that we could live with and worship Him and look up unto Him. So there is an error that many make. They have attempted to understand the work and the power of the Holy Spirit without first coming to know Him as a person. There are many people that want the gifts of the Spirit, but they have no knowledge of who He is. We want wisdom, financial wisdom, and we are praying every day for financial wisdom or for wisdom to fill us. But wisdom is the Holy Spirit, according to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. How come you want wisdom, but you have no relationship with Him? You don't know who He is. You don't have a clue of what He's capable of, and all those things. You have to get to know Him first as a person. So it is crucial to establish in our hearts and minds that the Holy Spirit is a divine person, one who is infinitely holy, infinitely wise, infinitely mighty, yet wonderfully tender, sensitive, compassionate. He is deity and not a human being. We were created in His image. You remember the words? Let us make man in our image, not my image, but our image, which means in the image of Father, in the image of Word, and in the image of Spirit. So we were created in His image, in the image of the Holy Spirit. Now He is worthy to receive from us, all of us, reverence, affection, faith, love, devotion, and a complete surrender. I must emphatically state that the Holy Spirit is not just an influence from God. He's not some sort of mystical power. His desire is to be our closest friend. Yet we have limited His involvement in our lives. There is little or no consultation, interaction, or relationship. Come on now. You look at yourselves. Pause for a moment. Do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Do you interact with the Holy Spirit? Is there enough engagement and consulting with the Holy Spirit? You answer that. We have inadvertently rejected the most powerful person, most resourceful person in our lives while we are living on the earth. He's all-knowing and all-powerful. He has been sent by Jesus to be a constant help to sons of God. Thank you, Father. We're not alone. He's here with us. Have you ever heard anyone refer to the Holy Spirit as an it? What audacity! In many centers, people are more romantically connected to His gifts than Him as a person. People have relegated Him and domesticated Him to mere speaking of tongues when He distributes such gifts. He is much more majestic, mighty, and honorable than what you think or have heard. The Holy Spirit will not manifest where He's not honored and accepted. Yes, He's not going to manifest where He's not honored and accepted. You read that account in Matthew chapter 13, 54 to 58. You can read from Psalm 25, verse 10 to 14, and Psalm 89, verse 7. The Holy Spirit has a personality, beloved. He is a person. He possesses a personality. He has a mind, Romans 8:27. He has a will, 1 Corinthians 12:11. He has emotions such as love and joy. You read that in Romans 15:30 and Galatians 5:22. He comforts us, Acts 9:31. He speaks to us. Hebrews 3:7. He speaks clearly to us, 1 Timothy 4:1. He teaches us, 1 Corinthians 2:13. He can be made to feel sorrow. You read that in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. He can be insulted, Hebrews 10:29. He can be resisted, Acts 7:51. And also, most dangerous, he can be lied to. Be careful. Acts 5 verse 1 to 11 will teach us a lesson not to lie to the Holy Spirit. You read that account of Ananias and Sapphira, where they thought they could pull the wool over God's eye, where they could lie and get away. No, both of them lost their lives on the same day. Yes, the Holy Spirit can be lied to because he's a person. And I pray that we wouldn't land ourselves in a situation where we are being labeled as liars and the Holy Spirit is grieved, and yet we call ourselves sons of God. Be careful, beloved. I'm just warning you, be careful. And when we turn to the Genesis 1 account, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. When you use the word God in Genesis chapter 1, it's a Hebrew word, Elohim. Elohim. In Genesis chapter 1:1, in the beginning God created. In other words, in the beginning God, Elohim, created. The word Elohim refers to Father, Word and Spirit. In Acts chapter 10 verse 38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We turn to Matthew chapter 3 verse 16 and 17. When he had been baptized, Jesus came out immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now here you find there is at the river where Jesus is getting baptized, the Bible says Jesus came up immediately. So you got Jesus. And secondly, he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. So you have Jesus. Now you have the Spirit of God. Three people all operating as one at the baptism of Jesus. Jesus is getting baptized. The Spirit of God is descending, and suddenly a voice came from heaven. So there's Jesus, there's the Spirit of God, and there's a voice from heaven. Three different people operating as one, and the one is called the Godhead, the Son, the Spirit, and the Father. How do we know that the voice that came from heaven was a voice of Father? Because he said, "This is my beloved Son," referring to Jesus. So it must be the Heavenly Father who spoke from heaven, confirming the sonship of Jesus Christ from the river Jordan. So, beloved, we are convinced that the Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is God. The voice from heaven, who is Father, is God. So all three make up the Godhead. In both scriptures, it is evident, of course, that Elohim constitute three persons. I'm just stressing this so that you catch this in your spirit. Is that clear? All involved in the creation account, all three were involved. But it was the Holy Spirit who first came out of that meeting that the Father, the Word, and the Spirit discussed, "Let us make man." After that door was opened after that meeting. The Holy Spirit came out. He hovered upon the waters, thus giving the Father the opportunity to to speak everything into existence. So the Bible says that he hovered over the dark. He activated the voice of Yahweh, who then spoke everything into existence. You can read that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. In the beginning, God, he is our source, he is Abba. My fulfilled marriage, my supernatural breakthrough, my safety, the securing of my peace commences with Elohim, made up of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus said that it is important that he goes away. And when he does so, he will then send the Holy Spirit. You will read that in John 16:7. Let me read the scripture. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, Jesus speaking. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. But I tell you the truth. The verse of scripture. I'm reading now from the Amplified. First time I read it in the New King James Version. Now I'm reading it in the Amplified. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Counselor, the Strengthener, the Standby will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you. I love this verse of scripture. Therefore, from the scriptural reference above, in both the King James Version and the Amplified Versions, we can conclude the following, that the Holy Spirit is the sent one and Jesus is the sender. I am convinced at this point, and you must be convinced, for Jesus to send the Holy Spirit, who has a personality, who feels like each one of us, that can speak, who can be grieved also. He's been sent by Jesus, the sender. The sender stands on the earth in the sent one through representation. Has Jesus left the earth? No. He's here in representation because he's the sender. The sender always stands in the sent one through the principle of representation. He enables us and helps us to live through representation as sons of God on the earth. Therefore, he is the most important person on the earth right now. You agree? He is also the governor of the kingdom of God. He is the key to you understanding your purpose and the fulfillment of that purpose on the earth. Understanding your purpose and the fulfillment of your purpose on the earth. That is his job, sent by Jesus to accomplish in the sons of God. In Galatians chapter 4 verse 4, tells us that in the fullness of time, in the most appropriate time, God sent forth his Son. The purpose of Jesus' coming was to redeem, to buy us back. He completed the deal with his blood. In Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22 tells us that without blood there is no remission of sins. Because Jesus is sent, he must always ensure that he represents the one who sent him accurately. This is the principle of ambassadorship or representation. This means that the Son is covered by the Father. This further means that the Spirit of Father is the operational system in the Son. And Jesus said, I and my Father are one, in John 5:19. You and I must start living as representatives of God's kingdom under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And we're off to in our spiritual assignments. We've got to spread hope. healing, peace, and power in the name of our King. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 11. Well, we're not going to read all those scriptures. You could do that. But let me highlight some important points from this passage of scripture. Number one, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So, in order to recognize the Lordship of Jesus, and that is crucial for us, we must be in consultation with the Holy Spirit, or be acquainted with the Holy Spirit, or have prior relationship with the Holy Spirit, who teaches us, or prompts us, or helps us recognize Jesus as Lord. Many Christians accept Jesus as Savior, and that's where it stops. It's easy to receive Him as Savior. He wants to save the whole world. But when you make Jesus Lord, you are now wanting to operate in your role as Son of God. And only the Holy Spirit will prepare you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, those who are sons of God are led by the Holy Spirit. Many Christians accept Jesus as Savior, but only sons of God accept the Lordship of Jesus. Is that clear? This is essential as a pre-step for the gracious acquisition and demonstration of the gifts. Okay, we will be talking more on the leading of the Holy Spirit in the weeks ahead. But there is only one Spirit of God. There is only one Lord. There is only one God. Say that after me. There is only one Holy Spirit. There is only one Lord, referring to Jesus. And there is only one God. Amen. The Holy Spirit has gifts in His possession, meant to be given to sons of God, enabling us to execute our function on the earth. The gifts are not for self-grandiosity, self-gratification, or to fuel a narcissistic mindset, parading a false flamboyancy. No, a gift is given to benefit and profit all. The Holy Spirit works all these gifts. He distributes gifts. They are in His possession. He has a choice to give each individual as He wills, not reserved for only the fivefold ministers. No, this is the believer's privilege. Each and every believer has this privilege of being resourced by the Holy Spirit. However, at the time, there must be fruit or evidence that the Holy Spirit is resident in the sons of God. The following characteristics must be present as evidence that the Holy Spirit is residing inside of you. These are called in Scripture as the fruit of the Spirit. And they are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When these are present in my life and in your life, then the flesh is crucified with its passions and desires. We then live in Him, who is the Spirit of God, and we walk in Him, the Holy Spirit. I urge you to please do your own study on each of these characteristics and prayfully ask the Holy Spirit to help you. It's no benefit for you to memorize this verse. No, I don't want you to memorize this verse. You need to work all of this into your living. The evidence of the above characteristics precedes the granting of the gifts. Let us start today. Let us start today. The evidence of the gifts being in you is more important than asking the Holy Spirit to grant you gifts. Let me repeat John 16:7 again. It is to your advantage that I go away, Jesus speaking to his audience. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Jesus has departed. According to Acts chapter 1, verse 11, Jesus was taken up into heaven. You know the story. You could go and read that verse of scripture. He was taken up into heaven. He is not here. He's only here in representation, being represented by the sent one. The one sent is here, who is the Holy Spirit. This means that the Holy Spirit is covered by the Spirit that is in the Son. That is the Spirit of Father. The Spirit of Father is in the Son, and the same Spirit is processed and passed on to the Holy Spirit through the process of representation. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 19, Jesus had already left by the time Paul makes the statement. Acts 1:11, by the time he leaves, and much later Paul makes the statement that the Spirit of Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit in Philippians 1:19. In Matthew chapter 10 verse 20, the Spirit of your Father speaks in you, who is the Holy Spirit. It's not talking about the Father in heaven, but it's talking about the Holy Spirit, who has the Spirit of Father in him. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, will teach us all things and bring to remembrance the words of Jesus. You can read that in John 14 verse 26. I want to read a passage of scripture from the Amplified concerning the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of truth. This is what it says: "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the full and complete truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but he will speak whatever he hears from the Father, the message regarding the Son, and he will disclose to you what is to come in the future. He will glorify and honor me," says Jesus, "because he, the Holy Spirit, will take from what is mine and will disclose it to you, beloved, or the believers." I like that last part. "He will glorify and honor me," says Jesus, referring to the Holy Spirit, "because he, the Holy Spirit, will take from what is mine," says Jesus, "and he will disclose it to you." So I'm looking forward for those divine disclosures, manifestations, the revealing power of the Holy Spirit, the activation of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'm looking forward for a greater dimension of that. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24, Jesus is the power of God, or Christ is known as the power of God and the wisdom of God. So Christ is the power of God. This power is given to the believer to be a witness to Jesus. In Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Secondly, Christ is the wisdom of God. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit is the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. The Holy Spirit is the wisdom of God. Christ is the power of God. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. So, can you see the beautiful way in which the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all work together? In Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2, "The Holy Spirit is the wisdom of God. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of God." are all the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, the seven radiance of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the Holy Spirit was Christ in Jesus. Christ means anointed. So the Holy Spirit is the anointing in Jesus. So the Holy Spirit can empower an individual with Christ. And Christ is the anointing of God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit was Father in Jesus. The Holy Spirit was wisdom in Jesus. Jesus was both Son of Man and Son of God. Amen. The Greek word for helper is the word parakletos. You read about that in John 14:16. Greek word for helper, beloved, is parakletos. Parakletos is a compound word of two Greek words, para and kaleo. Para means very close, and kaleo means to beckon or to call. It describes callings. It invokes thoughts of destiny and action. So when Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is our helper or parakletos, Holy Spirit is permanently called closely alongside each one of us to provide coaching, direction, instruction, and counsel to each believer. This is His assignment or calling. He will abide with us forever. He will never leave or forsake us. What an amazing promise. You have access to Him. He is deity and not entity. Approach Him with dignity and with respect. Acknowledge His distinguished presence. He's probably the most ignored person in the church. We don't speak to Him. We don't call upon His services. John 16:7, Jesus tells His disciples that He must go away. It is to their advantage. The Holy Spirit can accommodate all people at the same time. Jesus was unable to do this, yet both carry the same anointing. The Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. Both have the Spirit of Father. I would like to stop right there because there are a few points that you need to ponder over, assimilate, compile into these key points, put them together in your workbook, and then consider deeply, introspect, interrogate this word, and make this word to become part of your next step of receiving the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth and to lead you in your life's endeavors. So I would like to further elaborate on the leading of the Holy Spirit and how we can establish a credible witness on the earth when I'm next engaged to speak. May the Lord bless you today. Stay blessed and have an enjoyable week. I'm praying for you. And remember, if God is with us, who can be against us? Amen. Take care.